Good morning, everybody. I'm Coach Jake, and this is Coach Bob. And we call all the pastors here coaches because we believe that God's called us all to be a team, that we'll only be the church that God wants us to be when we all are active together. And so our role as leaders is to help you find your position on God's team, help you get active, and help you be the best you can be at that position. So also, before we get into the sermon today, though, I wanted to announce something we're doing a little differently today. Normally, we try to keep both of our first service and our second service the exact same. And the purpose of that is we wanted to keep the same mix of people at both. One of the things we really like here at Maywood is that we've got all sorts of different ages and backgrounds all worshiping together. But we have a special Sunday today. This service will be kind of like our regular service. We'll be in the middle of our series, Into the Light. But our second service, we're going to be praying with and listening to Coach Josh, one of our other pastors here. Josh has been battling cancer for several months now, and he and Amanda are going to join Bob and I here in the second service, and they're going to share a little bit about what's going on with them, and we're also going to have a chance to pray with them. So I want to invite all of you guys to come back to the second service. I think it'll be a really powerful time for all of us, and also we want to all be together asking for God's help in this situation. I want to pray, and then we'll get into this sermon. God, I thank you for who you are, and just like we sang, God, that you love us and that you've reached down for us. God, today I pray that you would come and teach us in this moment and that you would prepare us for what you have the rest of the morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So our series, Into the Light, we started last week, and we talked about this image that comes up a lot in the Gospel of John and also the book of 1 John about God being the light and about how we can come into the light and live with him or how we can stay in darkness. And last week, we talked about, do we really even want to be in the light? We're all sitting here in church today, but a lot of times we actually push away from God's presence, and that's what we were reading in John, Jesus actually talking about that. Most people hate the light because it shows how their deeds, it shows who they really are. And sometimes we push away from that shamefully. So we're going to look today in the Gospel of John to start us off as well. In John chapter 1, this is John talking about Jesus. He says, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. So here we've got this idea that, again, let me read this one more verse for, sorry. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. So kind of like we talked last week, John's getting the same idea that even though Jesus made us, even though Jesus loves us and died for us, like we talked about last week, even though he did all that for us, a lot of people push Jesus away. And we actually, it's because it's uncomfortable to get into his presence, to see that we do have problems. But as he goes on to say, there's a big promise for those of us who are willing to face our own weaknesses, are willing to come forward and say, Jesus, I believe in you. And so here's what John says. He says, yet to all who did receive him, to all those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Bob, can you talk to us a little bit about that amazing promise?
Let's talk about that. Sometimes words become so familiar to us that we miss what's being said. So what he's saying here is that you and I and the rest of everyone in the world can actually become a child of God. And I thought I'd picture it with a couple of pictures. So give me a picture there. It's a little guy who's on an elevator reading a newspaper, and some of you might recognize him as one of our grandkids. He's young enough, he doesn't care whether I put his picture on our PowerPoint or not. He is the product of the love between my daughter Rebecca and her husband Ricky, and they have another child. I just thought we'd do one picture there. And so human life, all of us are the product of the love between a man and a woman. And we are here because of that. But that doesn't make him a child of God, okay? He's beautiful and he's sweet and he's innocent, but he is not what all that God has destined him to be. To do that, he needs to become another life form. That's an interesting thought. We are not naturally in this human body a child of God. We have to become another life form. In John chapter 3, Jesus told a great man who had a lot of things going for him, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. This human life is human life, but that which is born of the Spirit is of the Spirit. And so give me the next picture, Jake, if you would, please. And so God, who loves my grandson more than I can imagine loving him, God who loves you more than you love yourself, came to this earth and lived through his son Jesus Christ a sinless life for 33 years. He then, as we know the story, he hung on the cross 9 o'clock in the morning until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I have a kind of an idealized picture of what it might look like here in my slide behind me, but it was gruesome. It was horrible. It was just the most humiliating, painful way to die a person could ever die. There was a time when the sun covered up the earth and no one could see what was going on the cross. And it is my belief that it was during that time that Jesus suffered the penalty of every human being who's ever lived on the face of the earth, both before his life, during his life, and after his life. He suffered all of that for us so that we would not have to bear our own guilt, our own sin guilt. When I think about being forgiven, I am not forgiven just because God's having a good day and says, I think I'll give Spradling a break. I am forgiven because his son paid the penalty of my sin and my wrongdoing. And so he suffered for us, and then a few weeks later, the Spirit of God came upon the earth on the day of Pentecost, they called it. And that was God's gift to come into us literally and to make us new human beings. When I tell people about the salvation experience, I say it is not that it's some thing where God has some supercomputer in heaven and he puts a check mark by your name and he says, okay, you're one of mine. But rather, God does it very up close and personal. He literally, through his Spirit, enters our life. And he makes us, as I used the term a moment ago, he makes us a new life form. We become spiritual beings with his Spirit living in us. And so if you want to know, what does it take for us to become a child of God? It took the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Holy Spirit, and then the gift of his Spirit into our lives. And that is, he doesn't gate crash in his way into our lives. He doesn't have a big size 14 foot like I have. It's a bigger one than that, quite frankly. And kicks in the door of our life and says, I'm coming in. No, he's invited in. And we invite him to be a part of our life. And then we become children of God. Now, I talked about God's love for us. You've got a great verse there, Jake, to let us know about how much he loves us.
Yeah. Before we get to that verse, I want to jump in with kind of a random story from last night. Christy and I were over at a friend's house, another couple's house, and they were talking about all these arguments they had when they were first married because they used different words to describe things. Like the husband would call curtains blinds, and so he said, close the blinds, and his wife, they were already closed, and they didn't know what they were talking about, and they wound up yelling at each other, and it's because they were talking about different things. When we hear this story about Jesus coming and dying for us and bearing all of our sins, and about God wanting to make us his children, a lot of times when we try to interact with God, that's not really what we're after. We're after, God, help me get a new job, or God, I really want to get over this one problem I have. Help me get free of that. God, I really want this one thing. And it has nothing to do with all the stuff that Jesus was doing. And if we try to have a relationship with God and not understand what he's trying to do, it's not going to be a good relationship. I want us to read this verse. John, 1 John sums it up now. We're skipping to 1 John. It says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. See, God's whole purpose and everything that's going on here on earth is to make us siblings of Jesus, to make us the same quality as Jesus. I mean, it's to raise humans who we all know are selfish and fearful and messed up spiritual body beings, to make us like Jesus Christ, who is perfect and good and courageous and always sticks up for the weak and never betrays anyone and always lives up to his word and has the power to heal. I mean, he wants to make us into something that's totally different than what we are. And so when we go through life, sometimes we get frustrated with God because we're saying, God, I just want to be a slightly better person. And God's shooting in a totally different direction. What God is busy with here on earth is to make everyone who's willing to jump on board into his child, to bring us into his family, and to make us brothers and sisters of Jesus. And that's a totally different thing than what most of us are shooting for. And the option that God gives us is says, come join me in this. I'll do the heavy lifting if you want this. And so if you're here today at church and you just want to be a slightly better person, God's not opening the door to that for you. What he's opening the door for is to be a totally different being, to be of a different caliber of existence. God wants to move you to that.
Well, you're also going to cheat yourself if that's all you want.
Right.
Okay? You know, we're going to have a fabulous service at 11 o'clock. Josh is going to be here, and there's not a person that's a part of Maywood that knows him that doesn't have a great affection for him. But the affection that we have for Josh and for Amanda is the new people that they've become. In his old life, and I knew him in his old life a little bit, he was a scary guy, and he wasn't exactly pleasant, and he didn't like himself. And he said, I don't know how many times, you know, I wanted to kill myself on a regular basis. And the thing that Josh got was not just that he got off of drugs and he quit criminal behavior and he stopped punching people in the face, as he says. The thing that attracts us to Josh and also to Amanda, I want to include her in there, is that they become like Christ. And there are a lot of people, we could name it. I had Richie pray here earlier. And one of the things that just attracts me to Richie is Jesus and his life. I expect in your former life, I'd been scared to death of you. You know, been like, whoa, Richie, you stay over there and I'll stay over here. But, man, we're buddies. We give each other hugs and we high fives. And I mean, I could go through the list and name people. And so the offer that God makes us is not to make us just a little bit better. The offer God gives us is to make us like his son. And to have his personality and to have his thought processes, to have his wisdom, to have his help, to have all of him. I talked about the spirit living in us. When his spirit can live through us, that is what is attractive. And so that is his offer to us today that we don't want to push away from.
Yeah, and you know, the Bible always shoots straight with us, and right here in the middle of telling us how incredibly good and giving us this big pep talk about how great God is and how great this life is, John doesn't pull any punches. He throws this little tidbit in there, too. He says, the reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him, talking about Jesus. And this idea that if you follow God, just like most people are misunderstanding God, a lot of people are going to misunderstand you. And some of the same pains that Jesus went through, you're going to go through some of those same rejections. Whether, you know, he was rejected by his family, he was rejected by his friends and by his people. And Jesus is saying that as we follow him, there's going to be times where we face those same things. But then he goes on to tell us a little bit more about what God has planned for us. He says, dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I'm going to jump into that last line there, but Bob, do you have anything to add before I do? Okay. So this is a really big key. This verse is maybe, I think, the most important verse of this series for us, the second half of this verse here. It says, when Christ appears, this is talking about when life as we know it is over and life eternal really gets going. It says, what will that be like? Well, here's how John describes it. He says, we'll be like Jesus because we'll see him as he is. So the interesting thing, if you've been following God for a little while, you might be able to understand a piece of this from your own experience. The better glimpse you get of God, the more clearly you see Jesus, the better person you become. You can't really have a real interaction with God and not be changed. As soon as God starts to come into your life, you can run away from him or cover up your face. But if you look at God, it's going to change you. And when you're reading your Bible, if you really pay attention to Jesus, who you find there, and you really catch a glimpse of him, it's going to change your heart. See, a lot of times when we try to be better people, we're on this mode of, okay, I'm going to church, and I'm going to try to be a good parent. I'm going to try to be a good coworker and a good citizen or whatever. We try to do all these things right, and we just struggle and struggle and struggle. But we've put things backwards. The way to do good things is to be a good person. If you are good, it's easy to do the right thing. Well, how do we become good? This verse says you get a good look at Jesus. The better look you get at Jesus, the better person you become. Now, this might still be a little hard to understand. I've got a quote from George Fox. He's been gone for a little while, as you can tell from his attire, but this quote, I think, sums up what we're talking about here. He says, looking down at sin and corruption and distraction, you are swallowed up in it. But looking at the light that discovers them, you will see over them. Now, George doesn't talk exactly like we talk nowadays. But what he says is if you look at all your problems, at your addictions and your selfishness and your fear and anxiety, and you just stare at those and think, I got to get this right and I got to fix this and I got to change this, you're going to be overwhelmed by all of your problems. They're too big for you to solve on your own. But he says, if you look at the light, and notice how he describes the light, just like we talked about last week, he says the light that discovers them. When you come into Jesus' presence, you do notice, wow, I've got a lot of griminess. There's greed or selfishness in me that I didn't see before. But he says, if you'll come into that light and look at that light, that you'll see over your sin, that you'll have hope about how to conquer that sin. So Bob may help me explain this a little bit.
Let me talk about George Fox for a second. George Fox is old. He spoke in these and thous in his day and that sort of thing. He was a part of a group of Christians who their goal was to wait before God until they had heard from him. And when they had church, their church didn't look like our church. Their church was literally, they waited in stillness before God until they heard from him. And then someone would say, I've heard from God. They were the leading people who sought to abolish slavery in our country, you know, a couple of hundred years ago. And it was an incredibly bold move on their part. But they did it because they had waited to hear from God. And they went counterculture, and they made enormous risks. And they lost their lives, and they went through persecution, but they did so because they had heard from God. And so the way that you're not swallowed up by the world we're lived in is by waiting before God. And so part of seeing the face of God is to spend some time and to slow our lives down and to put aside our cell phones and our Facebook and our TV and our internet and our conversations, and to get to a place where we can just wait before God. And it really takes discipline, but I'd encourage you to carve out some time every day to say, God, it's just you and me, and I'm going to wait before you. And you may do it a half a dozen times or 10 times and nothing happens, but if you'll stay with it, I guarantee you God's going to show up. And if he shows up, he may scare you, he may surprise you, he may bless you, he may direct you. He's very creative. He'll do it his way for you, but you will meet with him and you'll stop getting swallowed up by the world that you're living in. So that's a great quote, Jake, and a fabulous man to highlight for our message.
Yeah, no. And so we get in this image of, oh, you just got to spend time with God, you just got to see God to change. And sometimes we take that so far as we think, well, then I don't have to do anything. I just have to read my Bible in the morning, and then I don't have to try at all. If we jump back right to where we were in 1 John, here's how verse 3 goes. It says, all who have this hope of being children of God, in him purify themselves just as he is pure. So if we have this hope in Jesus, it says our action is going to be to purify ourselves just like Jesus is. Bob, can you talk to us about that a little bit?
Well, I'd just like to say, if you wait before God and you have a touch with him, you can't be not pure, okay? So that discipline will get you there. Now, if you're just, I had a friend of mine said, my folks like a little bit of spirituality, like I like a little bit of aftershave, just a little here, a little there, and that's it. If you're going hard for Jesus, if you're digging into him, if you're going for him, he will also cause you to want to be pure. One guy said, your prayer life will stop, cause you to stop sinning, or your sinful life will cause you to stop praying. You know, it just works that way. And so you go for God, and you let him work in your life, and you let him encourage you and strengthen you and help you, and he will help you get pure. Or if you live in the world of sin, it'll probably keep you away from prayer. So it's a choice to make. It's a place to get in there. I don't know if that's where you're headed.
Where I'm headed. And I think to kind of wrap up today, God's got this offer for every single person in this room. He says, I want to make you a sister of Christ's or a brother of Christ's. That's where God is heading. And he's got his hand out saying, do you want to come with me? Because if you go with God, that's where he's going to try to take you. If you go anywhere else, you're not going to be right next to God as you go there, okay? How do you get there? What do you do to get there? You spend time every day making sure you get a good look at Jesus. The rest of it will start to fall into place. As you keep getting a good look at Jesus every day of your life, you're going to see, I need to ask for forgiveness to that person, or I need to be less selfish in this way, or more generous in this way. But the things are going to start to bubble up from within you. Instead of trying to force them inside of yourself, they're going to bubble up from within. The actions will start to follow as you spend that time daily with God. And to realize when things in your life aren't going the way you exactly want them to go, step back and think, is this part of God's plan to make me like his child? Because maybe if God and you aren't on the same page, maybe it's because you're shooting for something else besides that. We're going to have a time of response right now, and this response time, as the worship team's coming up, it's all about you guys saying, I want to make a choice. I want to change because of what I just heard. And so if you want to come down and pray, we'll have people up front ready to pray with you. That would be awesome. If you want to stay where you're at and worship, you're welcome to do that. But this is an opportunity for you to take hold of this, to not let it just fly by. Let's pray. God, I thank you for who you are. And God, I pray in this time that you would begin to prepare us for this second service today. We have our hope in you, Jesus. And God, I pray you would purify us in this time. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.